I'll just give the khulasa of that message today, inshallah.
Hazrat says, in Arabic, for clothes, the word thawb is used, thawb. Now, and if you go to Saudi Arabia, when you say thawb, you know this long kurtas, they refer to the long kurtas as thawb. But generally, it doesn't only refer to the long kurtas, all our clothing is called thawb, and the plural is thiyab. So, Hazrat says that, why do we wear clothes? Taake rahat mile. So that we will get comfort from the heat, we save ourselves. From the wind, we will save ourselves. And rahat milti hai, uski wajah se. And he used to love to do this. He says, take the word thawb and just add one alif to it. Then it becomes thawab. Right? Now, just like how in clothing you get rahat and comfort. If you're doing any mashaqqat and any difficulty, you're enduring for sake of Allah Ta'ala, and then you start pondering on the thawab you're going to get for it, then that mashaqqat also becomes easy for you. Because in the back of your mind, you know that whatever I'm spending money, I'm going to get rewarded by Allah Ta'ala, or this journey I'm undertaking, I'm going to get rewarded by Allah Ta'ala. So the reward is driving you. The reward driving you. So that what makes it, understand that, very much easier. And once you have the libas and clothing of thawab, all our actions motivated by thawab. He says, "Ye dar haqiqat jo hai taqwa ka libas hai." In reality speaking, this clothing of thawab is the clothing of taqwa. The clothing of thawab is the clothing of taqwa. So beautifully put. And if you've got Allah Ta'ala's rida is in front of you, when you go by Allah Ta'ala, He's going to give ajr jazil jameel for all the mashaqqat that we have. So that's driving force behind it. And once you have that, that's the garment that you're putting on yourself. That is the garment of taqwa, as it says. And the Quran Sharif has speaks about it. وَلِبَاسُ taqwa, ذَلِكَ khair. That's more better. The libas and the clothing of taqwa, that is more better. And then, because you are enduring for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, there will be no ta'ab there. There will be no tiredness. Rather, there will be ta'ab. Ta'ab means chamkahat, shining brightness. Samajh mein aayi baat hai? Aur jo tangi hai, becheni hai, wo dur ho jayegi. Say, Allah ke liye main kar raha. So whatever a person is enduring, is enduring for Allah Ta'ala. So that will remove all that pain. And his nose is focused on the thawab. And he's put the garb of taqwa over himself. Now, what is taqwa? Hadith says, just like how when you get sick, then you have to go to the doctor. The doctor gives you a prescription. And then that prescription will be based on the ailment that we have. And you call it the dawa of the jism, jismani dawa. In the same way, there is also dawa for the ruh. The ruh also gets sick. Just like how the body gets sick, the ruh will also get sick as well. And that sick, and that cure for the sickness of the ruh, that is called taqwa. The cure of the sickness of the ruh, that is called taqwa. That is why, when you do your fara'is, for example, tabiat ke andar ek roshni aa jati hai. We read Isha namaz, how nice we felt. Before namaz, what was our condition? After reading namaz, how nice we felt, how better we felt, how much sukoon we felt. He says, that sukoon, that radius, that radiance, that is nur. That is nur. When you do an ibadat, then you create nur by that ibadat. Radiance comes over you by that ibadat. A sukoon comes over you by that ibadat. Now imagine we read our Isha namaz. Now you can sleep peacefully. You can go in your bed. See, my mouth is going to come. It's okay. Son, I read my namaz. You can sleep peacefully. Noor aa gaya. Sukoon aa gaya. You read all your du'as, your masnoon du'as, you read your kalima, and you slept away. Who knows? You may not get up. Maybe the last time you slept. But at least you slept with noor. You slept with sukoon. It's minani qalb. That's what we interpret with the word noor. نور آ گیا. حضرت says our tabiat must become the shariat, your nature should be shariat. That means your life must evolve around the shariat. Everything that in your nature is must conform with the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Our tabiat shariat ban jaye. So one person comes to Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Rahmatullah Alayhi and tells him, Hazrat, dua kijiye ke mujhe namaz ka shauk mil jaye. Make dua that I get the enthusiasm of performing salah. So Hazrat says, Are bhai, khane ke liye dua to nahi karai. You tell me you want shauk to read namaz, but you never tell me, not one day, Hazrat, make dua that I also want to eat. For that you never come to tell me make dua that I want to eat. But for namaz, all of a sudden you want, I must make dua for you, must get. He says, jis tariqe se tum khana khate ho, aise hi namaz bhi par liya karo. Just like how you keep on eating your food, you don't tell anybody make dua for me to eat food. When the food is there, then you finish everything. So in the same way, just like how you eat food, you don't ask for dua too. You just carry on eating namaz quietly. There's no dua for that. That you just have to get done. Sahabaji, that has to get done. It must come from within yourself. You, it's like a shariat tabiat ban gayi. Your shariat should be your tabiat, and your tabiat should be your shariat. Sahabaji, work hand in glove. And once that happens, initially it's shock. It is difficult for your tabiat nature to become shariat, because you have to do a 360 degree change of life. You know, like now, I got the sugar diabetes. Now the sugar was gone out of control, totally. See, I saw that machine, that thing is showing 30. So I thought something wrong with the machine. You see? So Dr. Riaz told me, see, bye, I'm going to put you on insulin if you don't do a full U-turn. Change of lifestyle, change of diet, you see, total U-turn. Now, initially, it is very difficult. You can't have anything sweet. You have to remove all carbohydrates from your diet. You can't have rice, you can't have bread, you can't have sugary things, sugary drinks, anything like that, all gone. All the things that we love to eat, the chocolates and all that, that's all gone. All the sharbat, all the milkshakes, wo sab gaya. Now, how difficult it is. So, shuru mein to bahut shaak. In the beginning, it's very, very difficult also, as it says, to conform and make your tabiat to shariat. Lekin, once you start doing that, Allah Ta'ala will change it from shock to shock. From difficult to enthusiasm. Sure. Allah Ta'ala will change it around. Because we done a whole full U-turn for Allah Ta'ala, changed our life upside down for Allah Ta'ala. So everything we were doing in contrary to Sharia, now everything we are doing in conformity with Sharia. So now in the beginning it was shock, it was difficult, and in the end it becomes shock. You don't go to namaz for fajr because somebody got a gun at your head. You go to because you want to go. But you go to because it's the right thing to do. So that you leave all the haram things because it's the right thing to do. Then after that, you don't feel enthusiasm to do haram things. You feel nafrat for it. Now we can't leave it. But once you left it for Allah Ta'ala's sake and you got the habit of leaving it out, then you won't be able to go back to that. Allah Ta'ala will create shauk, enthusiasm for what is right and good. And you leave it. All those things were difficult, now it becomes easy. Allah Ta'ala makes it like that. And that mashaqqat and that masa'ib that comes from Allah Ta'ala, normally we say if the calamities come for Allah Ta'ala, then it's for expiation of our sins, kafara. So it says all the sins getting washed away. All the sins getting washed away. All the mashaqqat that we are enduring, so we normally say that all the sins getting washed away. He said, Allah par to husne zan rakho. It's okay to say kafara, kafara, but why don't you also think good regarding Allah Ta'ala? That with kafara, also rafi daraja is taking place. Allah Ta'ala is elevating your maqam. Allah Ta'ala is making you go high by putting you through some difficulty. So don't only think that it's only for expiation of sins. It's also for climbing the ladder closer to Allah Ta'ala. You see, now a person when he's in difficulty, a sick person. Let's say example, I give you an example of a sick person. We go to the sick person and what do we say? La ba'asa tahurun lak. We say tahurun lak. This is cleanliness for you. Allah Ta'ala is washing your sins away. Now that person, He's sleeping in his bed. We can't help him. The only thing we can do is make dua for him. Now in his bed, he knows that the only person that can give me shifa is Allah. The doctors can't give me shifa. The medicine can't give me shifa. Only Allah Ta'ala can give me shifa. He knows that. So while he's lying in his bed, his heart, where do you think his heart is? 24 hours lying in that bed in that hospital, his heart is with Allah Ta'ala. That's why they say when you go and visit the sick person, tell him, make dua for me, for you. His dua is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Because he's in such a condition now that he's totally majboor. So his contact with Allah is very strong at that moment. So tell the sick person, make dua for you. And then if he makes dua for you, the dua is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Because his heart is broken at that moment. And Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ مُنْكَسَرَةِ الْقُلُوبِ. I am by that person whose heart is broken. So tell him, make dua. Yes, there's adab of going to visit sick people. Sahibaji, you mustn't stand long when you go there. It's called فُوَاقُ نَاقَ. When you go to the sick person, then you know when you're milking a goat or a cow, that one milk, like this, there's the other ear and the other milk. How long it takes to do like that? It's like 1-2 seconds like that. So you go in the hospital, you don't stand there next to the sick person. I said that because now he needs to vomit, he needs to do this, that, break wind. Now you are standing there, he's finding it difficult. So you're causing him more taklif than anything else. You must go in and out as soon as you can. So just go there, make dua for him and you leave. Don't stand there. Huh? Unless different thing, it has you, I'm bored now, sit down, I want to talk to, I need somebody to talk to. If he asks you to sit, then something else. But don't go in and spend a lot of time on the bedside of a sick person. Just go in and go and say this thing, make dua for him and tell him make dua for you. And you leave from there. See? So Hazrat says that have husni zan with Allah Ta'ala. Have good thought. That Allah Ta'ala is putting the person through all this year for a reason. And that is not only to wipe out his sins, also to elevate his maqam, to make him get a high position in Jannah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts a person through so much of trials and tribulations. And then when he gets all the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, and he starts making muraqabah and pondering, Allah, you have blessed me with so much. You've given me so much, more than I'm not even worthy of anything, and you have given me so much. And you start making muraqabah of Allah Ta'ala's ihsan on you. Sahibaji. And Allah Ta'ala, then Allah's muhabbat will come into the heart. Because you say, Allah, I wasn't worthy. This is you gave me through your fadl and karam. I'm not worthy of anything. Whatever you gave me is more than I'm worthy of. This is your fadl and karam. Now you start appreciating. And once you start appreciating, then you start loving Allah Ta'ala for all his ni'mats. And then, whether it is ni'mat coming to your way, or whether it's mashaqqat coming to your way, the shauq will not change. That shauq and enthusiasm will still remain. And that enthusiasm is what is going to drive you towards Allah Ta'ala. And that's what we refer to as tariqat. See, shariat and tariqat. Shariat is all the laws. And tariqat is that motivation towards Allah Ta'ala. Whether in good or whether in bad. That's what we refer to as tariqat. You see? And then on this road that we are traversing towards Allah Ta'ala, then obviously we have to sacrifice, we have to make mujahada, sacrifice against our nafs, leave our desires for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, control our eyes, control our tongue, control our company, association, all these kind of things that we know that can take us away from Allah Ta'ala. We start sacrificing all that for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And once we make mujahada like that, jihad against the nafs, then the jihad on the battlefield becomes easy. That's why from one battle, what Nabi Asa, when he was coming back, what he said, Raja'na min al jihad al asghar ila jihad al akbar. We're coming back from the small battle to the big battle. On the battlefield, that's the small battle. And against the nafs, that's the big battle. So if you can subjugate the nafs, inshallah, the jihad on the battlefield will become easy. See? So therefore, mujahada will take place. And from the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, who made the greatest sacrifice in jihad? It was the Ahle Badr, the Sahaba who participated in Badr. They made the greatest sacrifices in jihad. That's why from all the Sahaba, the Badri Sahaba holds the most amount of fadilat, Badri Sahaba. The 313 Sahaba that participated in Badr, they are on the most loftiest maqam amongst the Sahaba. They have the most highest fadilat. 313 Sahaba. Then after that is those other Sahaba of Bi'at Ridwan. They took Bi'at under the tree. So those other Sahaba, they also got a very lofty maqam. But the Badri Sahaba, they are on the highest platform amongst the Sahaba. Because their Mujahada was also very great. And we've been hearing that on the 17th of Ramadan, the Battle of Badr took place. Saraji, two of our khatibs who also spoke about the same mazmun, and Saraji. So it was never mind the repetition, but at least we heard it twice. So now it will set nicely into the heart. When you repeat it, then it sets into the heart. So on the 17th of Ramadan, when the battle has taken place, so that was what mujahada they went through at that moment. We can't even think about it. So therefore, Hazrat says that once you make those mujahada for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and the mashaqqat is changed to shock, then your darja gets elevated. وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. Then you'll get high maqam because of what amal you have made. And then there will be no more mashaqqat, there will be no more difficulty. Or Shaykh Kamil, murid ka dil aisa banata hai ke dunya mein jannat ho jaye. That's the job of the Shaykh. That he changes the heart towards the akhirat in such a manner that whilst you're living in the dunya, you're getting the sweetness of jannat. That is the job of the Shaykh. So take your mind away from the dunya, take your mind, refocus towards Allah Ta'ala. Sahiba. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad Sula Rahmatullah Ali, you should say, kisi par umeed mat rakho. Don't have umeed and hope in anyone. Only have hope in Allah Ta'ala. And he says, mujh par bhi umeed mat rakho. Don't even have hope in me also. That's what he says. See how he's diverting the attention solely towards Allah Ta'ala. Yeah. Even moving away from the Shaykh also, solely towards Allah Ta'ala. So he's making a deep connection, diverting from all makhluk, moving away from all makhluk to the khaliq. That's the job of a Shaykh. That's what his job is. Divert the attention solely towards Allah Ta'ala and nobody else. Allahu Akbar. Or fir jab talib akhirat ban gaya. Once you have become talib of akhirat, fir hasad kaisa? You became talib of akhirat now. Your vision is towards jannat. Your vision is towards day of judgment, hisab, kitab. Now he says, if your vision is on that, how you can make hasad regarding what's going on in this world? If Allah Ta'ala gave somebody a lot of wealth, or Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala blessed somebody with so much of fame or whatever, lofty maqam, you won't make no i'tiraz against him anymore. You won't make i'tiraz, you won't question, you won't have hasad and jealousy for him, nothing at all. Because you know that's the divine decree of Allah. He is in control. He is doing the distribution. He knows why he is giving who, how much. He is doing it for a reason. So if that is the case, that you have become talib-e-akhirat, so that means you know more talib-e-dunya. You're talib-e-akhirat. You know more talib-e-dunya. And if you know more talib-e-dunya, the whole chapter of hasad is gone. There's no more hasad left. Because you don't care. And suddenly, you say, you are mashallah. You see somebody, something good he got, say mashallah for him. Good luck to him. I remember my marhum father, Rahmatullah Ali, when somebody should say, this person doing very well, that person, my father should always say good luck to him. That's my father's words, I learned it from him. That you should always say good luck to that man. So I'm happy for him. So you see another Muslim brother making taraqqi, be happy for him. Now if that is in the dunya, in deen also, if you see people are making taraqqi in their deen, so they're getting closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala, their lives are changing. You can see now they're not reading namaz, any slapdash namaz. They're reading proper namaz, khushu and khudu. They're not coming last minute to the masjid. They're coming 10-15 minutes in advance. That means what that means? Iman is increasing. But you can see change coming. You can see there's a person, he's coming closer to Allah Ta'ala. So in that you must be happy for him. Must be happy for him. That this person, bi fadlihi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is changing his life away from the dunya towards the akhirah. And then Hazrat says, you know, amongst the asatiza food is hasad. Especially when they make taqseem of kutub. In the beginning of the year, now we have the whole course. Which ustad is going to teach which kitab? Now we have a nazim of ta'aleem. His job is to divide the kitabs. He knows which ustad is good in which subject. So based on that factor, ustad, if he's good in nahwa, you'll give him a nahwa kitab to teach. If he's good in fiqh, you'll give him a fiqh kitab to teach. If he's good in hadith, you'll give him that. Or if he's good in balagha, then you'll give him balagha, language. Now the office will determine that. Now some ustads, one kitab which they wanted to teach never come to them, goes to somebody else, they're offended by that. Why it never come to me? So others say, now they start having hasad amongst themselves. That's wrong that. You can't have hasad amongst yourself. It's even amongst the asatiza too, you get hasad. One person wants to teach hidayah, he never got hidayah to teach. He got another kitab, Nur Rizah, to teach for a lower class. Now in his heart it's paining. Why I never get this kitab to teach? Others say, Aisa nahi chalta. It shouldn't be no hasad even amongst the asatiza. Why? Because we are talib of akhirat. I tell the students in the class, there is no difference in teaching Alif Ba and Bukhari. This is also khidmat of deen of Allah Ta'ala. That is also khidmat of deen of Allah Ta'ala. You know, Mawlana Abdul Khaliq Mullah, Damat Barakatum from Ladysmith, he is the last surviving student of Hazrat Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Mazni Rahmatullah. There's only one student in the whole of South Africa. Even in India, too, hardly anybody left from the students of Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Mazni Rahmatullah. In our Sanad of Hadith, his name appears there. Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Mazni Rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, our Sanad of Hadith is very strong also. There's only one link between us and Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali as far as Sanad of Hadith is concerned. Right? So, in the Sanad of Hadith, that links us to Mawlana Hussein. So, Mawlana Abdul Khaliq Mullah, Daman Barakatum. So, he told me, Mufti Sahab, we went to Ladysmith. I always wanted to meet him because I know his Sanad of Hadith is direct student of Mawlana Hussein Ahmad. So I thought we'll get ijazah in the Sanad of Hadith. So I told him myself, Mufti Masullah, we were there. We requested ijazah. We told Hazrat, give us ijazah. He said, but I was not teaching Hadith my whole life. You people are teaching Hadith. Hazrat, I'm not teaching Hadith. When I came from India, there was no Darunum that time. There was only Maktab level Talim. He says, I spent 50 years in a Maktab. How many years in a Maktab teaching? 50 years in a maktab, teaching maktab. And he's imagine direct student of Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Mandi. But that there was no Darul Uloom that time. But how much ikhlas he must have had to teach in a maktab for 50 years. So he said, okay, never mind, come here. You narrate one hadith from Bukhari for me. So I knew one hadith by heart. I narrated it with the sanad to him. And Mufti Sahab done the same. And then he gave us ijazat in sanad of hadith. Halakhe, we teach hadith, but his sanad is stronger. He's a direct student, and we are indirect students of Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Mandi. So when I met him, alhamdulillah, when I go to Ladysmith, he comes for all my programs. Alhamdulillah, shukr. He's a much more senior. He's old, and he still drives everything. He's probably close to 90. He still drives. Now his children, they have asked him to sit one side. He said, now he mustn't teach you anything like that. So I gave him dawah to come here also. He says, I don't leave Ladysmith, I'm too old now, I don't go anywhere. My children, I don't go to their houses also. They have to come here to visit me. You see. So therefore, at the end of the day, these people have ikhlas. That's why they don't mind teaching in a maktab. They don't mind at all. They can teach their whole lives. Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib, my father-in-law, rahmatullah alayhi, taught in a maktab for 40 years. And that took class 2. The same things every year, class 2. At least in the big kitabs, you get some enjoyment out of that. You know, you're doing all the ahadith and the explanations and this and the tafasir and the tashriyat and this and the aqwal of ulama. So it's a lot of things that are going on. Now imagine you're teaching small children from the maktab level. How much patience you need to have. And then when he was with us in Harding, he was a master in teaching a child from the first qaida ula and bring them to Quran Sharif. A child who doesn't know nothing, he starts alif ba. Within 6 months, under Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib, he can read Quran and read inside. Within 6 months. 6 months he enrolls in a madrasa, and within 6 months he can start reciting the Quran Sharif. He was a master of teaching a child how to read Quran Sharif. And then Allahu Akbar, Chupe Rustam the, right? But very, very pious person. Right? So he had a sunnat mot. Nobody understood his maqam, only the day he left they really understood. We also, we stayed close to him, but he hid a lot from us also. He should make zikr, and his zikr, his tongue shouldn't even move. It was zikr qalbi most of the time, because he was in a state of zikr. Most of the time, in a state of zikr, zikr qalbi, you see. So when he left this world, he said that, Mufti Masullah was there, I was in Allahabad, by Hazrat, and I was returning to Delhi. And he was in the hospital, so he was in Sakarat. So I told Mufti Masullah, go quickly to the hospital. So Mufti Masullah was there, he stood on his bedside. He said, he took out his mask, and he said, Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la, Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la. He fell on the right side, who was calling. Allahumma bir rafiq. I've read so many sawani of so many buzruks, their lifestyle biography. I've come across nobody, yes, they have good moods, mashallah. But I haven't come across in any person's sawani and his life autobiography, his biography, I haven't come across that and said that he had a sunnat mot. Like how Nabi alayhi salam, exactly the same words. Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la, Allahumma bir. I've never come across that. This is the first buzruk I saw that he had exactly the same words came out of his tongue at the time of mot. And what he was doing his whole life, teaching in a maktab. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. And said that, what he was doing. Mawlana Thanvi Sheikh, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sheikh, Haji Imdadullah. He wasn't even an alim. He's teaching a maktab. He was a maktab teacher. And the caliber of murids coming to him, Mawlana Thami, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, giants of ilm. Allahu Akbar. You see? They are the mukhlisin. They're mukhlis. They have ikhlas in what they're doing. So Allah Ta'ala gives very high maqam. So even amongst the ustaz, if there's hasad, that must be removed. That's nonsense, throw it away. There can't be hasad. We are talib-e akhirat. Yeah, you teach alif also, you teach ba also, you teach one harf, you teach this, you teach that. Anything you're ready to teach. We're doing it for Allah Ta'ala. You see? Then Hazrat says, that you know the ustaz of yesterday, if they used to stay absent from madrasa one or two days, then the end of the month, when they get their paycheck, they return the 2 day salary. Say, I can't keep it, I never go madrasa, I never thought. So how can I take my full salary? So here in our madrasa, we give two options. Either you give us our time back, or either we cut your salary. You choose whatever you want to do. If he tells me, no, I'll keep my full salary, I'll teach on Saturdays, I'll give you so many hours extra. And I tell him, all right, take your full salary. But I tell him, work it out. How many hours you was absent? How many periods you were absent? So the ustaz of that time, that's how muhtaj, how pious they were. If they won't take the full salary, if they never give the full time. And the ustaz of yesterday, they would go 15 minutes before the class time into the class. Ali Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, used to teach maktab. So the maktab children used to come in the afternoon. But he used to go about half an hour before the maktab starts and teach all the small children, even before the time. And if the children don't know they work, then after asar, you should still sit with the children. You never know the work. So you have to still teach them. You see? And then Hazrat says, you know, the ustads of yesterday, how they were. You're teaching in your class. They give you a nice gadda to sit on, you the ustad. You understand? So they give you like an elevated platform. But you can't sit, you must first sit 10 years on that side before you can come to sit. You understand? So they give you a nice platform to sit, raised platform, a gadda to sit on. Now, one mehman walks in. So the ustad of yesterday, he should move away from that gadda. Mehman came in. He says, I can't sit on this gadda here that belongs to the madrasa and make your ikram, you my mehman, you're not the mehman of the madrasa. That gadda was given to me solely for the purpose of teaching. So whilst you are visiting me on a personal level, I can't sit on the madrasa's gadda and entertain you. That was the ustad of yesterday. That was Hazrat says. Now that level of taqwa, where you find that today? Can you find that today? That is not possible. Somebody may even. And then we only look at the clock. And the minute the ganti bajti hai, sab bhagte hain. when the bell is gone, it's like you're out from the jail, all running. That's not the tariq. Before, the students shouldn't have no clocks. Whenever the ustal call them for sabak, they come. Whether it's morning, afternoon, night, day and night. Sometimes you have sabaks rolling till 12 o'clock, midnight. So that's how it was in the olden days. And then some people, as it says, they make tamanna that if only we were alive in the time of the Sahaba, how nice it would have been. If we were not born in this era, we were born in that era. Some people, sometimes they have that thought in their minds. Agar hum sahaba ke zamane mein hote to kitna acha, we would have been with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat says, luckily we're not born in that zamana. We are lucky. We were not born in the zamana of sahaba. Because if we were born in that zamana, we couldn't hum us zamane ke adab ko mehfooz nahi rakh sakte the. The level of etiquette that was required for that zamana, we would never be able to fulfill it. We were not going to be able to fulfill it. So you must never desire and think that if only I was born in the zamana of the Sahaba. We don't have what it takes to be in the time of the Sahaba. Allah chose those people for a specific reason. Their level of adab for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We will never be able to conform. We won't make it. That's why I say, that's why we shouldn't even think like that. Luckily we're not born in that time, we're born in this time. That's what I say. And then people want to make ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. He says, what's the criteria? He says, amal mein taqwa ka ihtimam nahi hai. There's no taqwa in our lives. There's no piety, living of sin. Or sunnaton ki itiba bhi nahi hai. And we're not following the sunnats also of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we're making tamanna and desiring to make ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can that happen? The taqwa is not there. Ittiba of sunnat is not there, but the desire is there to see Nabi alayhi salam in the dream. Says we won't see him in the dream. If you want to see him in the dream, you have to bring taqwa in your life. Leave all guna, everything. And secondly, ittiba is sunnat. Follow the sunnat. Khane ka waqt ho gaya, right? It's time to eat food. Now, when you're eating food, how are you sitting, in which posture? Char zanu betre, you're sitting four-legged. So that's not in accordance with sunnah to sit four-legged. You have to sit like the tashahud position or your one leg up. So he says, in our mannerisms, we're not following him and making ittiba of his sunnah, but then we want to see him in the dream. Allah says, if you want to see him in the dream, then the criteria is that you must make ittiba of sunnah and you have to bring taqwa in the life. Then Allah Ta'ala will give the tawfiq of making ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the heart. In our heart, we have the kalima inside. So the mahal of kalima la ilaha illallah is in our heart. And the mahal of taqwa also is in the heart. This is the mahal. Taqwa, this is where everything functions from here. Taqwa also is here, the kalima also is here. Ye dono ka mahal hai, qalb. Samajh mein aayi baat? At-taqwa hahuna. وَأَشَارَ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taqwa is here. And he made ishara to his heart. He said, taqwa is in the heart. إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةٍ إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. There's a piece of flesh in your body. If that is right, your whole body is right. If that is wrong, your whole body is gone. So that is the part of the body that we have to work on. وَأَلْزَمُهُمْ كَلِمَةُ التَّقْوَى. And the Quran Sharif says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Don the garment of taqwa. Now, you won't look, you can't see it with the naked eye. You won't be able to see it with the naked eye. Because it's a spiritual matter between you and Allah Ta'ala. Say, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Say, don the garment of taqwa. خُدَا کا در جو ہے یہ taqwa ہے. Fearing Allah Ta'ala. That is what is taqwa. Namaz par hi. That is taqwa. And Allah Hazrat says, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Now what he's saying, ajib istidlal he makes from here. Namaz par hi, ab jab masjid se nikla, now you done something good, some matter of taqwa. Ab you just came out of the masjid, ek ladki guzar rahi hai. Now one pretty girl is walking on the street. Now your eyes is falling on her. So you can't call that taqwa. That can't be taqwa. You done an action, you went to the masjid. You read namaz. That's an action of taqwa. You came out of the masjid, your eyes fell on a pretty girl. So Hazrat says, that is not taqwa. Taqwa is not that it starts with khair and ends with shar. That's not taqwa. Taqwa is it starts with khair and ends with khair. You started off with khair, and when you saw her, you lowered your gaze straight away. You never look at her. When you saw she's walking down this corner here, you just looked the other way, turned your car and moved. You never even look in your rearview mirror to see if she's behind. That is taqwa. Somebody may but so taqwa is not you done some khair and then you add shar with it. That's not taqwa. You start with khair and you finish with khair. That is what is taqwa. And for a salik, for a Muslim, for taqwa, you have to leave all gunai kabira. All of it. Not one gunai kabira you can do. Now, gunai kabira is that sin. A wa'id has come for it. Warning of punishment. Like zina, punishment. Like stealing, punishment. So punishment is given. Tarke salat, punishment. Wherever there's punishments, then you must know that's a sign this is a gunai kabira. So if a person wants to become a muttaqi, Hazrat says, sawalini peda hota. You have to leave gunai kabira, and when it comes to sagira, or sagira par istimrar na ho. You're doing small sin, but you're not continuously doing it. It just happened, a small sin, and then you left it after that. Not something that you will keep on saying, no, ye kabira, sagira, so then you keep on doing it. So that he says, then a sagira, if you keep on doing it over and over, it becomes a kabira. A small sin then becomes a kabira. And do you know, in our Sharia, there's no definition as far as what is a gunai kabira. There's no definition. Some ulama have said that every gunai has a potential of being sagira and kabira. If you look, there's a gunaya. If you look at the one above it, there's a stronger guna above it, so this is sagira compared to that one. But this guna is stronger than the one beneath it. So it's also a kabira. So it can play to both ways. It can be sagira also, it can be kabira also. So if a person wants to become a wali of Allah Ta'ala, he must give up all the haram he's doing. That's all that kabira gunas, he's got to put that one side. The small sins, if it happens to him, he mustn't do it intentionally, but if it happens, then there mustn't be istimrar. There mustn't be like you're doing it over and over continuously. So that's very important. And he gives one example. He says, a big tornado can come and blow your whole house out. Right? Big flame can come and wipe out the whole house. And then he says, you can get just one small little spark that also wipe out your whole house. So you don't need a big flame to wipe out. Even one small spark also can wipe out the whole house. That's why Nabi alayhi salam used to say that before you go to sleep, you must make sure all the candles are switched off. In the olden days, there was candles and lamps. If you're going to leave it on and sleep away, one rat will come, knock it over down, and then from there it will catch fire, the whole house will get burnt. So that's what's going to happen. So you must make sure all the things are closed. Even the food in the kitchen, the pots must be covered. Don't leave it uncovered. You don't know what can go inside. What can happen? What poison can go inside? Next day you consume it, you'll die. So therefore, this is a ta'lim of Rasulullah s.a.w. You understand? So as it says, that's why you mustn't trivialize any sin. Any sin can destroy a person. Any sin can destroy. Don't now start checking whether this is kabira or whether this is sagira. No, make sense. You leave it, all of it. Understand? And then, إِذَا ثَبَتَ الشَّيْءٍ ثَبَتَ بِلَوَازِمِهِ. Now, when something is established, it's established with its lawazimat, with its attachments. For example, you got married. So marriage is a very happy day. نَكَحْتُهَا وَقَبِلْتُهَا. But there's attachments to it. Now the wife wants nanu nafaka, maintenance money. Now she wants place to stay. Now she's sick, she wants to go to doctor. Now she wants clothing. That all came when you said that one nakahtwa, you accepted all that. So it came with its lawazim. Or like how the winter comes with its lawazimat, ja al bardu wal jubbat. The cold comes with the jabba. You start shivering, you're going to look, where's my jacket, where's my muffler, where's my socks, where's this, where's that. So in the same way, kalima, the lawazim of kalima is taqwa. When you recite the kalima, automatically you agree to living a life of piety. That's why Allah Ta'ala, every kullu mu'minin taqi, Every mu'min is muttaqi. We have to be on a state of taqwa. That's why we are mu'min. Now there's different levels of taqwa. Different levels. Inshallah, in another majlis we'll discuss the levels. What are the levels of taqwa? But once we really recited the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now what does that mean? That means that now we're going to have fear of Allah Ta'ala. We're going to look after our hearts. And we're going to make tazkiyah of our hearts. We're going to cleanse our hearts. So from this we can deduce how important it is, the tazkiyah of the qalb. Because that's the main nerve center is in your heart. So if the heart is right, then everything is right. If the heart is wrong, then everything is wrong. So if you put Allah Ta'ala in the heart, that will have a positive effect in your actions of the day. But if something else is in your heart, then it will have a negative actions during the over your body during the day. So the tazkiyah of the qulub, that's so important. And that's one of the mandates of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ba'atha fil ummiyina rasula minhum. Allah Ta'ala says, yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmata wa yuzakkihim. So you go teach them the kitab and teach them hikmah and purify them also. Purify the heart. So that's the whole importance of the purification of the heart. And finally, Hazrat makes this dua and he says, Allah Ta'ala, hum sab ko jo kalima ke lawazim hain, taqwa, sahih, haqiqi, zahiri, batini ki tawfiq ata farmaye. Allah Ta'ala give us the lawazim, the attachment of iman and kalima, and that is taqwa. Outwardly, as well as inwardly. Taqwa, haqiqi, real taqwa. Then we can say now, we are following the lawazim of the kalima. We can't just recite the kalima and just start doing sin and don't pay attention. No, no. We recited the kalima, the attachment of taqwa has to come with the kalima. Then only we're going to have iman kamil. Otherwise, it's iman naqis. Our iman is deficient. The only time for us to get iman kamil is that we recite the kalima as well as we have taqwa in us. Allah Ta'ala grant us full Hazrat's qabr with nur. This is ma'khuz from his majlis. Understand that it's only my tongue, but the advices are from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sitting here in the masjid with the neck niyat of benefiting from the aqwal and from the ta'aleem of our tabir. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.